It was as though he'd been walking through a summer meadow and then found himself flat on his back, looking up at the sun with a bullet in his spine. There had been no warning, no time to prepare. Gradually, all of Ryan's fighting skills and senses came back to him.
Right. It's inside the half hour, so he should have just jumped directly back to Maine. I'll use the LD control and try to follow him. As long as he hasn't wandered away from the gateway, then we can both jump back here.
You'll feel like death.
Sure, but we'll still be alive. We'll all be together again.
What if you don't get back here within 30 minutes, lover?
Then I'll come and find... Shit. Of course. We don't know where we are right now.
Set a meeting place. We'll wait here in the redoubt for let's say, 12 hours from now. If you and Dean haven't shown by then, we'll go out and find where we are.
If we're right, you'll be in Maine. We don't know where we are yet. So, we should set a meeting place and time that we can all likely get to.
Time's speeding by.
Maine Bridge over the Sippy at Memphis. 4 weeks from today at noon.
Sure, Trader. 4 weeks from today. Noon at the big bridge at Memphis.
Christy put her arms around Ryan, holding him tightly. She kissed him on the cheek, whispering in his ear.
Come back safe, lover. I don't have anything if I don't have you.
Same for me, babe.
Ryan shook everyone's hand, and then looked at his cron.
27 minutes since our jump. 4 minutes since Dean went.
What if the lad didn't hear your warning? Comes around back in Maine and has the intuitive sense to simply press the last destination code on the door. That would bring him back here any time in the next half hour.
So?
I do not believe that you can use the last destination code twice.
Meaning I'd be stranded in Maine?
It is indeed a sorry thing to be lost. So very far away from all of your friends and loved ones, Ryan.
I know. But we still got us a date and a place, if things go wrong.
There was nothing more to be said. With a final glance around, Ryan tugged at the door of the chamber. For a single piercing moment, he thought that it wasn't going to open. The time would quickly elapse for a jump after the boy. Dean would be totally alone and lost. Ryan tried the door again, and this time the sucklock opened. Ryan stepped inside and pulled the heavy armor glass door closed behind him. The last thing he saw was Christy Roth, her emerald eyes brimming with unshed tears. Ryan sat, laying the rifle at his side and tucking the Sig Sauer snugly into its holster. He rested his back against the brown and white wall and closed his eye. He struggled to compose himself for the second jump in 30 minutes, knowing from previous experience that this wasn't going to be a pleasurable experience. The silvery discs above his head and by his feet began to glow, and the ghostly wraiths of white mist gathered near the top of the gateway. But Ryan saw none of that. He was preoccupied with a sickening swirl within his brain that told him the jump was irreversibly on its way. The walls of the chamber were a dark gray, the same color of the Matrans unit up in Acadia National Park that they'd only just left. Ryan fought against the nausea, swallowing hard, sliding down to lie on his back to try to recover more quickly. He knew that time now was the remorseless enemy. The headache was ferocious, spreading from his nape, erupting like agonizing molten lava over the top of his skull, behind both eyes. Despite the pain and sickness, Ryan was able to make the clinical observation that his missing eye hurt just as much as his good eye. He could actually smell or taste the rancid bitterness of vomit, but he couldn't face trying to find out where it was. Squinting, he could see that the chamber door was closed. He also saw that the chamber was empty.
Dean?
There were two possibilities. The first was that Dean had ended up somewhere else. The second was that he'd been there a little earlier, but had already left. Then a third thought occurred to Ryan. Perhaps he jumped to a different gateway himself, to one that happened, by grim coincidence, to have the same color of armorglass walls as the redoubt in Maine.
Where are you, boy?
Standing up was a major accomplishment. Ryan managed it only with the aid of the Steyr SSG-70, climbing up it, leaning his shoulder against the cold armorglass. Only when he was finally upright did he dare risk a glance at his wrist chron.
Fire blast!
14 minutes had already elapsed since he had commenced the jump from the other redoubt. If Dean wasn't close by outside, then it was going to mean tracking him down. Then a dangerous trip overland to meet up with the others. Ryan lurched to the door, pushing at it. He nearly fell as it opened easily. He looked at the control panel, as though there might be some clue as to what had happened in the past few minutes. But the numbers and letters in their recessed boxes stared blankly back at him. The anteroom was also empty.
Dean! Are you there?
Ryan stood a moment in the small computer room, licking his dry lips, pausing longer to wipe his sweating palms down the legs of his pants. There was a feeling of cool, fresh air, which had probably resulted from their own entry into the redoubt only a couple of hours ago. Ryan tried to catch some scent of his only child, but there was nothing.
Dean! It's me, son!
With an effort, Ryan slung the Steyr over his shoulder and drew the Sig Sauer, stepping out into the control area. At first glance, it seemed totally deserted, except for the machines and the flickering lights. Ryan looked again to check the time.
19 minutes.
The floor of the redoubt was totally clean, with no hint that anyone might have passed that way. The massive sector that opened onto the rest of the complex was still closed, the green control lever in the down position. Ryan had the overwhelming certainty that his son, only 11 years old, couldn't possibly have managed to open and close the door. Which meant either that Dean had somehow jumped to some other gateway, or the boy was still here. Ryan walked slowly up the first row of desks. They were too high for him to see over, but it suddenly occurred to him that if he climbed up...
Steady.
He nearly passed out, swaying dangerously, overcome with vertigo. But he could see the whole room and see Dean lying huddled in a corner, as pale as ivory and still as death. Only 8 minutes remained. He jumped down clumsily, the butt of the Steyr smashing a vid screen.
Dean!
A pulse, as faint as a tiny bird's, barely fluttered against Ryan's index finger. He lifted Dean's head from the floor. He felt a great bump on the side of Dean's skull. The boy's eyes were closed, and when Ryan pushed back one of the lids, he could see only bloodshot whites. Dean's mouth was open, his breathing so shallow that it was hardly there. His skin was sallow and cold to the touch.
Come on, boy. Wake up.
Ryan chafed the limp wrists, trying to rouse Dean by slapping him hard across the cheeks. All that happened was that the marks of Ryan's hands stood out like livid scars on the boy's face. Ryan spun quickly, seeing that the sparks had turned into flames and that the worm of smoke from the vid screen had become a great, dark, curling python, wreathing toward the bright overhead lights. 5 minutes and 40 seconds were left before the last destination option expired. There still seemed no sign of his son reviving, so Ryan stood, managing to pick him up in his arms, awkwardly fumbling for the strap of his rifle.
Fire in Matter Transfer Computer Control Center. Fire in Matter Transfer Computer Control Center. All personnel, immediate evacuation. Download all comp programs onto security disks and evacuate by main exit.
Water poured from overhead sprinklers, stinkingly rancid, soaking Ryan and his son. The sprinkler system probably hadn't been activated for most of the past century. Its clotted contents had become unspeakably vile.
Ah, shit!
The sprinklers failed. Smoke roiled along the ceiling. As it grew thicker and darker, it started to fill the whole space, dark yellow flames lapping sulkily at the desktops. Despite his youth, Dean was a solidly built boy, and Ryan was seriously weakened by the second jump. He ducked his head beneath a wave of flame and battled on toward the gateway.
Emergency fire crews move immediately to Matter Transfer Unit. Gateway evacuation grade 1 priority. Serious malfunction with control.
Ryan was halfway toward the anteroom, the stock of his rifle jolting at every step. But he couldn't stop to adjust the sling without putting his son down in the pools of stinking green-yellow water. The fire raced, consuming everything in its path, filling the whole large room with impenetrable, choking smoke. Brian peeled back his sleeve, and he blinked down at his clan.